My father came to preach here, I want to say roughly 6 or 7 years ago. And I just want to talk about how cool God is. And he was preaching, and, you know, I'm biased, so he's one of the greatest preachers in the world. But there was an older gentleman in this church that, you know, I was about 19 years old. And as we were about to leave after the final service on Sunday, he comes up and he hands me a check. And I'm thinking, okay, is this for my dad? What's going on? And he hands me a check for $200. And he says, this is so that one day you'll come back and preach. To this day, I was walking when I got here. I hadn't even thought about it. I was walking around the campus yesterday, and God brought that story to my remembrance. And I just thought, how cool is our God? That 7 years ago, before I hadn't even started preaching yet. I started at the age of 20, going on 21, my senior year of college. I started being the youth pastor, and I hadn't even started preaching yet. So he's handing me a check, and here's what's funny. At that time, I didn't ever want to preach in my life. I wanted nothing to do with ministry. I wanted nothing to do with preaching. It was not what I was going to do. And he hands me this check and says, this is so one day you'll come back. So here I am. So don't blame him if I'm really, really bad tonight. I apologize in advance. He had a good, no, I'm just playing, but I just thought it was cool how God orchestrated something, and now I'm here, and a seed that he sowed, now I'm here to get to, and I'm so honored, Pastor Carl. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this conference and trusting me enough with speaking to this congregation and to these youth. Well, I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico. After service, I know all these great ministers of the gospel were here, and they have all these great resources. My resource table is full of nothing. So if you want me to sign something, if they handed you a paper, I'll say, no, I'm just playing. I have not lived long enough to have all the wisdom of Pastor Tommy Barnett and Tony Cook. Those are two men that I have personally know, I've gotten to meet through the years and admire and respect, as well as your pastor. These are all men of God that I thoroughly look up to. So Trinity Church, I really believe you're blessed to have Pastor Carl as your senior pastor. I've gotten to be around him several times, and my father thinks the world of him, and I think the world of my father, so who he says is awesome, I've believed it, and I've seen it, and been around him, and he's the real deal, and so I really appreciate him. So I'm in Albuquerque. I am one of the executive pastors at our church. I oversee all of the children's ministries, as well as I preach to the high school and college students, as well as we have three campuses. I'm one of our campus pastors, so I stay busy. I'm around adults, teenagers alike. I just preached this last Sunday for my father in our adult service, so this message, I hope, can go to all generations, because here's the deal. No matter whether you're 2 or 92, the Word of God is for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. The principles and the values of the Word of God are for us. You know, tonight, speaking of the Holy Spirit, I've titled this message Core Values, and I really want to talk about the character trait or who the Holy Spirit is and really the still small voice that's inside of us. The still small voice that sometimes tells us don't do that. You know, you've been in a situation, you're about to do something, something says you shouldn't have done that. Adults in the room, can you go back with me when you were a teenager and you did something, and right after you got caught, you're like, man, something told me not to do that. Something told me this was going to happen. I've had several of those moments. There was a season in my life where I was a typical pastor's kid, and I was not serving God, but by the grace of God, he's pulled me back. I just have this thought, even as I'm speaking, but if you're a parent in the room, and you've raised your children in church and around the gospel, and currently they're not serving God, please don't give up on them. Please don't. Grandparents in the room, because listen, they might be out in the world, they might be lost, but they need someone that's going to fight the spiritual battle for them. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, doesn't mean you have to agree with their lifestyle, but they need somebody that's going to pray for them. Listen, I went and did my thing for a season, but because my father, my mother, my grandmother didn't give up on me and kept praying for me, I'm where I'm at today. If nothing else tonight, for those of you that are older in the room that have children, let my life be an example. That God's word never comes back void. That if you train a child up in the way that they should go, doesn't mean they're not going to detour, but they'll never depart from the truth. Why? Because it's in them. You planted seeds. I wasn't planning on saying that, but God was giving me that thought. Now it's so cool how the Holy Spirit works. He gives you words of knowledge, words of wisdom, thoughts. Pray for them. Keep fighting for them. They don't have anybody else that's in their corner on this side of the spiritual battle, so fight for them. Keep praying, keep fighting, and watch if God doesn't perform a miracle, even tonight. Can I pray real quick? Dear Heavenly Father, we claim those young people right now. In Jesus' name, God, we break what the enemy's trying to do in their world and in their lives. God, I don't know who this is for, but we're praying for them, God. I pray that in Jesus' name, you draw them back into yourself. Your word says that if we lift the name of Jesus up, you draw them in into yourself. We're lifting your name high in these young people's lives. I pray that we draw them back, God. I pray that there would be a spirit of prayer and that they would be covered. Because as your word says that if we believe in you, our whole household would be saved. God, give those in this room that have maybe been disheartened and felt like giving up, give them the strength and the ability to keep fighting, to keep fighting, to keep praying. We pray for a miracle right now in those lives, God. I pray for a miraculous coming back to Jesus. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled this message, Core Values. And so we're going to look at the life of Daniel. Many of you know the story, Daniel in the lion's den, I'm sure. But I'm going to take a little different approach to Daniel's life tonight. And we're going to look, and I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read through about verse 8. It says, during the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. That's why I was selected by God. I'm just playing. My wife says that. She's not here to give me a dirty look, so we're good. I call her my little Dominican fireball. She's half Dominican, half Panamanian, and I love her, and she's awesome. We have a little two-year-old. So anyway, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel, I'm going to stop right there. Daniel is a young man. He's taken into captivity in a place that does not like his God, in a place that does not honor his customs, in a place that really hates his God. And he's told, it's not like he just moved there. He was taken there as a captive and as a slave. And here's what the king does. He says, they're going to eat all this. They're going to eat like this. They're going to do these things. And this is how we're going to train these young men. And I love this part because God's word says, But Daniel determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He goes on to ask the chief of staff, let us eat this way, test us. They test them, they're healthier than all the other young men that the king had. Here's what I love about Daniel. He had his values. That even though he wasn't at home, he still had the values. That even though he was all this place away from where he was supposed to be, he still had the values from home. See, a lot of times in our lives, we get on the other court, somebody else's court, and our values change. You know, I like to think of this as Michael Jordan. I remember growing up watching Michael Jordan, and that guy was one of the only guys in the history of basketball that it didn't matter if he was at the United Center in Chicago on his court or if he was on your court, he had the advantage. He would walk in with a little bit of swagger that was different than everybody else. He would walk in, and it didn't matter where he was. He knew, I'm better than you. What you gonna do about it? He walked in with a confidence that nobody... Hey, listen, as men and women of God, that's a confidence we have to have. That it doesn't matter what situation I'm faced with. It doesn't matter what people I'm around. Especially young people, get this tonight. It doesn't matter who you're around and what influences you're around. Can God look at your life and say, but they... They were determined. Another translation says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Why did he purpose in his heart? Because values, the values that the Holy Spirit reveals to us through God's word, the values that we're supposed to pick up. Listen, we don't just come to church to scream and shout. We're coming to church to catch the values. We're coming to church. You're going to the youth ministry to catch the values that your pastors are preaching to you. We're not there just to have a good time. We're there to catch the values. Why? So that when we're in normal life, when we are outside of this facility, when we're not around maybe the best people, when maybe we are in college, we still hold the values. It says he purposed in his heart. See, a lot of times in church world, we have a whole lot of values in our head, but they haven't reached our heart. How do we know? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart is what defines you. It's who you are. That's why the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Too often we've heard great messages. Our pastors have preached things to us. We have a lot of head knowledge of the word, but we don't have the heart transformation from the word. Daniel purposed in his heart that I am on somebody else's court. I know that the king said, I'm supposed to eat this food, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because back where I'm from, we don't eat like that. Where I'm from, we do things a little different, and I'm not going to change just because you want me to. I'm not going to change how I believe just because it makes what you do uncomfortable for you. I'm not going to change what I do because you're convicted about my life. And if you're a young person, I'm being made fun of for my values. Listen, hold to those values. We have to hold to the values. Why? Because that's all we have. The values that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, that as we're living life, he tells us things and leads and guides and directs us. The same advantage that Michael Jordan had, we can also have. Because of our values, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you enough how many times that I was protected because I was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the ability to speak in tongues. I'm telling you, there were times where I was in situations that I had put myself in. You know, I hear this from young people all the time. It's cool, I can go to the party and hang out. I'm just going to show them Jesus. Paul said in the book of Romans that once you've been forgiven, by no means continue to sin. And then he goes on to say, don't even present your members to sin. Meaning, don't put yourself in situations where it's going to be a temptation. So I put myself in situations, and I remember in those situations, young people in the room, older people in the room, because you've had these prayers too. God, if you get me out of this one, I promise I'll never do it again. How many deals have I broken with God? Several. Can we all be honest tonight? Okay. Making sure I'm not alone. Right? But my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I remember being in those situations and just start praying in the Spirit. God, I know I blew it. I shouldn't even be here, but can you help me? And it's awesome how the Holy Spirit works because he would always give me different thoughts or things or ways to get out of situations. Why? Because I was trusting in him, and even though I had made mistakes, here's what's so cool about God. It doesn't matter how many mistakes I make or how many mistakes you make. You're one moment away from him changing your life. You're one prayer, one time of repentance away from God giving you a breakthrough. But Daniel said, even though I've been taken captive, I have home court advantage. Young people in the room, when you're at home, mom and them are looking over your shoulder. We're in Texas. I can say mom and them, right? I can say y'all and get away with it. Albuquerque, I say y'all. They're like, what? We're in the Burke 505. I'm like, oh. I know I grew up in Roswell. I was dropped off by the mothership. I don't know. I'm weird. I don't get it. But listen, when we're at home, when people are looking over our shoulder, when we're at church, no matter what age you are, you hold the values. Why? Because they're right there. You're in the living room with your family. You have the values. But what about when you're in your room by yourself text messaging? Do the values still stay? What about when you're on your social media and your Snapchat? Do you still have the values? Or do those values go right out the window based off of your circumstances? And if they do, it's because it's here, but it's not here. So you can play the game, but if it hasn't transformed your heart, it's not who you are. You're just a fake. And God didn't create us and die on the cross so we could be fakes. He died so we could be real. He died so that we could hold the values. You know, some of y'all grew up in those homes where when you were a kid, you had to take off your shoes before you walked in. Anybody in the room? You couldn't wear the shoes in the house. Currently in my home, we do not let people wear shoes up the stairs because we have white carpet. And it got really badly stained, and so we had to clean it, and we're like, no more shoes. But you remember as a kid, and some of you are still children of sorts, and you remember your parents would tell you don't touch certain things, don't do certain things, but when they would leave you home alone, oh boy, I'm not supposed to touch that lamp. Boom, what? You even like act like there was a camera. What you gonna do now, mama? Don't you walk on that carpet with your shoes. You're like, oh, I'm all over this carpet. You're doing the stanky leg on the carpet. You're like. That's so bad. But here's what happens. As you grow up and you mature, older people in the room can probably relate. You start to have some of those same rules in your home. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. There's got to be a point, young people in the room, where we've got to grow up to maturity. We can't always use the excuse, but I'm young. No. You know, back in Jewish culture, when you were 13, you were a man or a woman. You were an adult. You were treated as such. Too often we want to stay treated as young, and it's like, man, but you could change the world. You can influence people. You can do things. But you got to hold on to the values. And once you get the values, once you've spent time with God and His Word and the Spirit and got the values, then you've got to set up boundaries for those values. We're going to go, and I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you the story in Judges. In chapter 16 is kind of Samson and Delilah. We all know the story of Samson. We're going to look at what setting up boundaries or lack of setting up boundaries does in your life. You know, Samson was so special that an angel of the Lord appeared to his parents. And they said, he's going to be so special. They actually had rules about what they could eat and drink. Told his mama, you can't be drinking this type of wine or this food. You can't do any of that because of who he's going to be. Listen, God knew this guy was going to be special. He told her, your son is going to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. He had these different rules. He couldn't do certain things. But Samson, man, he ticks me off. Samson starts living his life, and he's got this incredible strength. And actually, if you read the story, it was the Holy Spirit empowering him to do certain things. So he went from freeing the Israelites from the Philistines, who hated God, who hated God's people. But he starts crossing boundaries. At one point, he starts messing around with all the Philistine women. Sounds like church people. There's no good women in church, so I'm going to go look outside of church. I hear this from young people all the time. There's no pretty girls at church. But that girl is not from God. God wants to save her, but currently, she's going to take you to hell. Can I say that? I don't know. Too late, huh? So Samson, right, he starts messing with the Philistine women, which was a no-no. He wasn't supposed to be doing that. Crossed boundary number one. Then he's not supposed to eat anything off of anything dead, and he sees honey inside of a dead carcass. He takes the honey and eats it. Boundary number two. Then he goes so far that the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the valley of Sur. Listen, Samson went from just messing with him to now he's in love. There's levels to this stuff. It was like we're piddling around. Now I'm in love with a woman that he was never supposed to ever have been messing with. And now he's in love. And all of us know that when a man's like in love, he's not too smart. Married folks in the room, go back to when you were dating. He wasn't that bright. Over time, he gets smarter. But back then, it's like, whatever you say. So he falls in love with her. So Samson was going from, my job is to free the Israelites from these people, to now all of a sudden he's in love with one of them. Why? Because he kept crossing boundary after boundary after boundary. Listen, when we ignore the Holy Spirit telling us something over and over and over again, at a certain point he stops telling us stuff. At a certain point, we've crossed so many boundaries that he said, they're not going to listen anyway. And that's when you know you're in a dangerous position. You say, well, I'm not hearing from God. Well, why do you keep crossing the boundaries? Why is he going to keep wasting thoughts when you're just going to ignore him? So Samson crosses all these boundaries. He's now in love. And I can just imagine God's a little irritated. Samson, boy, listen to me. Can't tell you how many of those conversations I had with my father. Boy, you better listen. Samson, every time you crossed a boundary and started doing something dumb, I sent my spirit to empower you to go kill thousands of Philistines. You'd think he'd have got the hint. You know, there's times we cross boundaries and God shows up in a mighty way by the power of his spirit. He shows up and helps us out of situations. The problem is we oftentimes think that that's how God's always going to work for us. He's not a bailout plan. He's God. He's not here just to always bail us out. He's here so that we can worship him, so we can love him. We got to set up these boundaries. So Samson goes across all these boundaries and all of these things. You know, listen, in your life, you have to set up boundaries, especially young people in the room. Everybody in the room, really, you got to set up boundaries. There's got to be things that you will not do. There's got to be some times where you don't listen to certain types of music. Now, I don't have anything against, you know, hip-hop and pop music, but listen, this day and age, the music y'all listening to isn't just music anymore. They're pushing values on you. You've got Jay-Z talking about Call Me Hova. That sounds a little bit like Jehovah, doesn't it? Jay-Z's going in there writing a number one album. This guy wrote the number one album, said, I went into the studio, didn't write anything down, had nothing written down, went into the studio, and all of a sudden you just had some crazy thoughts and all of a sudden wrote a number one album. It sounds like you're being led by a spirit. That's not the spirit of God. Why? Because what you're speaking about is sin and debauchery. We've got to be careful what's going in, because what goes in comes out. Some of us need to stop watching certain television shows because all it's doing is putting junk in our life, causing our minds to wander, causing our life to be full of all this junk. Why? Because we spend so much more time in other things than we do in the Word of God. And so at least if you're not going to spend as much time in the Word of God as other things, at least let the other things be somewhat wholesome. But we put all this stuff in. We got to start setting up boundaries. Young people, you got to set up boundaries in your relationships. You've got to set up boundaries in your relationships. Listen, because not every friend you have is supposed to be with you. I've talked to older people that are, you know, they'll tell me, you know, but they've been my friend forever. And I'm like, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? If they're giving you bad information, it's bad information. You know, I've talked to ladies that, you know, are wanting to leave their husbands because I get to deal with all age groups in our church. But all my friends say he's this and he's that and I shouldn't, da 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 da. And she's just mad because of certain things. He wasn't abusive or anything. And they're upset that he's doing all this. And I'm like, listen, you need to change some of your friendships. If he's abusing you, that's one thing. If he's messing around on you, that's another thing. But if you're just not agreeing on certain things, listen, and then your friends are going to tell you, listen, you got to change some people in your world. You've got to have people that are going to speak life to that relationship and that want to help that relationship, not tear it apart. Young ladies in the room, I'm a big proponent of men opening doors for women. I tell my students this all the time. Listen, he don't open that door for you, you walk away. You stand at that door till he walks his little butt over there and opens it. See, young people, the older ones are amening me. I'm winning tonight, okay? Listen, it's just something my father instilled in me. I always opened my mother's door as I got old enough. And my wife, I had to train her like most husbands have to do. I'm just kidding. But, she wasn't used to that. My wife came from a world that She wasn't raised in church. She had a very abusive father. So she had a lot of things with that. And so I had to show her that God really loved her. Ladies in the room, young ladies that I don't care what age you are, maybe you're single. There's some relationships that you need to end. Why? Because that dude does not love Jesus. And if you continue in that, he's going to take you on a path that's going to rock your world, and it's not in a good way. Things are going to happen. Fellas in the room, listen, if she's a Delilah, I don't care how hot she is. If she don't love Jesus, walk away. See, because that's what happened to Samson, but she's hot. I mean, I get it, Samson. My wife is attractive, but she loves Jesus. Listen, because if you'll do the things and you'll pray and you'll seek God, he'll hook you up. You'll get what you're looking for. And I tell my young people this all the time. There's nothing more attractive than a young lady that worships Jesus with all she has. Amen. Fellas, there's nothing more attractive to a godly woman than a man who will treat her with dignity and respect. Yes. Who will treat her as if her father is sitting in the room. Why? Because he is. You got to set up boundaries. Samson went across the boundaries. The Bible then tells us that Delilah really asked him, "What's the secret to your strength so I can kill you?" Listen, you in a relationship, someone says, "What's the secret so I can kill you?" Hint number one, this is not good. This is not where I'm supposed to be about now. You think he'd have got it then. So then he tells her something. She ties him down with all these ropes. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. The soldiers rush in. Hint number two. She's really going to try to kill you. He breaks the ropes, destroys the Philistines. Samson, because he had gone too far and crossed the boundaries too far, she does it a second time. He fools her. By the third time, he tells her, "If you cut my hair, it's the key to my strength." I can just imagine God looking at Samson and oftentimes looking at us. Oh, so you're going to rely on your hair to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. You're going to rely on your finances to do that. You're going to rely on your relationships to do that. I'm sorry, I'm the only one that actually can open the windows of heaven. Too often we ignore the Spirit of God in our life that's calling us. That's calling us to listen to him, to calling us to the life that he's called us to lead us and to guide us. Samson tells her a third time, and tells her to cut his hair. She cuts his hair and they come in. They gouge his eyes out and he's forced to push a mill with the oxen. This guy went from freeing the Israelites from the Philistines to being a slave in just a moment. Because he had crossed all the boundaries, because he had the values, but he didn't protect the values. If you don't protect the values, if we don't protect the values in our life by setting up the boundaries, we leave doors open to the enemy. You know, it's like this. Wouldn't it be great if us as humans could have, like, God gave us human shock collars like we give to dogs? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, you're about to walk into a situation you're not supposed to walk into and just, okay, God, I'm good. You're in your room, you got your cell phone out, you're about to send a text you ain't supposed to be sending it. Okay! Wouldn't that be awesome? Doesn't work like that. But what it really is the Holy Spirit inside of us saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We've got to put the fence up. Just like with dogs. That's such a good illustration. I'm proud of myself right now. But we've got to put the fence up. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, stop, we stop. When the Holy Spirit says, put the phone down, we put the phone down. When the Holy Spirit says, delete that guy's number out of your phone, you delete it. Listen, there's things that you can do in the physical that protect your spiritual walk. There's boundaries we can set up in the natural that protect the spiritual. So when the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, why don't you stop listening to that music? Delete it off your phone, delete it off your iPod, delete it off your computer. When the Holy Spirit says, hey, turn that show off, you shouldn't be watching it, turn it off. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, just go to bed. Just go to bed, go to sleep, we'll start again tomorrow. Go to sleep. Sometimes that's all it takes, man. I really messed this day up. There are days in my life I can't wait to go to bed. This day just did not work out. I'm going to sleep. And it's so great because you get to start over again the next day. Why? Because sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Young people, other people in this room, whoever's in this room, hold the values. Get them inside of you. set up the boundaries. You say, but I've never had that moment where the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me because I've never actually received Jesus. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes in this room, if you're in here, I never want to not give somebody an opportunity to meet Jesus. Because that's who the values come through, his life and who he was and what he did when he died on the cross for us. Jesus had his values and were that he would come and give his life perfection in heaven to live amongst humanity and live a perfect life and die on a cross for us. Pay the penalty and price for sin so we didn't have to. Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of that sin is death. But in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, because he was so passionate in love with us, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. So if you're in here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have before, but you've turned and you've walked away and you say, tonight is my night to come back home. Tonight is my night to rededicate my life to Jesus. To say, God, I've blown it. I've made mistakes. See, because here's the beautiful thing about God. It doesn't matter how far past the boundaries you've gone. All it takes is for you in one moment of humility to say, Jesus, forgive me. And he stretches out his hand and he pulls you back inside the boundaries. Back into the safety of his love and his arms. So maybe that's you, you've walked away. Tonight's the night to come back. Or maybe you don't know if it was your time to leave this earth tonight, whether you'd be going to heaven or hell, and you say, I just want to make sure that if it was my time to go, that I'd be living for eternity in heaven with Jesus. So if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, my goal is not to embarrass you, just to know who I'm praying with. All across this room, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, when I count to two, I want you to raise your hand. If that's you and you're ready to surrender to Jesus, one, get ready. Get ready, two, put them up. If there's anybody that says, I want to give my life to him, thank you. I see all those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I don't want to miss. I see that hand in the back. I see all these hands up front to my right and to my left. Thank you. If you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask that you would repeat this prayer after me aloud so you can hear your own voice. More importantly, I'm going to ask that you'd believe it in your heart. For those of you that Jesus is already your Lord and Savior, if you would also repeat this in support of those who raised their hand. If everybody would say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and that you were raised from the dead 3 days after. So Jesus, I give you my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sin, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me and guide me in all your ways and in all your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I do something else real quick? The Bible says in Luke 15:10 that when one sinner comes to repentance, all of heaven rejoices. So tonight, Trinity, can we just celebrate real quick and give it up for those? There were so many hands. I want to do one other thing, but I know that if you gave your life to Christ tonight, in a little while, Pastor Carl will explain to you what the next steps are and what to do. But if you're in here and you've been crossing the boundaries, you've left doors and windows of your life open here, because here's what I know, the devil is slick. The Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen, some of us have doors that are maybe just barely cracked open, because we've refused to set the boundaries and we've left these doors open. Here's what the enemy's going to do. He's going to get into that door. He's going to open up all the other doors and windows of your life so that all of his demons can come in and wreak havoc in your world. And some of you say, but I've been trying to shut the door. I just haven't succeeded. Why? Because it's you fighting all of that spiritual battle by yourself. Here's what I know. When we call upon God and we call upon his Spirit, he'll slam doors and windows shut. that'll keep us safe and keep us protected. So if that's you, I want to pray with you tonight. If you say, Stevie, I have doors or windows open in my life. There's places and different situations where I don't have the boundaries up. But I want tonight to call upon God, and I want you just to pray for me and pray with me that God would set those boundaries up, that He would slam the doors and the windows shut. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you'd get up from where you're at and come down here because I want to pray with you. If that's you at all, this is, I want you to pray with me to shut the doors, shut the windows, set the boundaries up in my life. Come down front and meet me down here at this altar. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. Let's all stand, if we will. Just make your way down here if you're ready to set up boundaries. If you'd come this way, just come up here because I want to pray for each and every one of you. I want to pray that tonight, as oftentimes it's hard, the struggle is hard. It's hard for us to close the doors and close the windows on our own. But when we call out to God, He'll slam them shut. When we call upon the name of Jesus, the devil has to run. He has to flee. There's no shame in this because, listen, we've all been here. There's times in my life where I realize I need to set up a new boundary. Different things or circumstances. Why? Because the devil doesn't ever quit. He's always trying to get us to slip up. Sometimes there's things we've been fighting our whole life. We've just been struggling, and it's, God, I'm trying, but I'm never getting anywhere. It's because maybe this is the moment that God's been waiting for you to be here. There's a reason that this was the message preached tonight. There's a reason you were all here. Because God's ready to slam some doors shut. If you're up here, if you would just lift your hands to heaven and close your eyes, if we in the seats could just extend our hands, prayer team, if we'd gather around. Father God, I pray for those that are standing here now. We invite your spirit into their world, God. I pray that whatever the door is, whatever the window is right now, God, it is slammed shut. If you're up here with your hands raised and eyes closed, speak those things out right now. Ask God, close this door. Close the door of gossip in my life. Close the door of whatever it is. You speak it out of your mouth and ask God to slam it shut. God, I pray that you're closing doors right now. That your Holy Spirit is working and moving and lives are being restored. Thank you, God, for giving them the strength to always acknowledge the boundary that you're now setting up. Give them the strength that sometimes when they're tiptoeing on the line, they're tiptoeing on the boundary, God, give them the strength to just say no. So that, God, when you look at their lives, each and every one of them up here, that when you look at their lives, if you were to write about them, you would say, all this is going on. But Daniel, but Stevie, they held to the values. Help them, God. Slam the doors shut. Slam the windows shut. Let them know that they've not gone too far, that you've forgiven them as they're crying out to you, that you care about them, that you love them. Thank you, Father, for doing this.